is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. With me here today is Dom DeRosa and a very special guest. He was on the show once before, a long time ago, when we had our debate series, I want to say. You were at your beach house when we did this debate. It was the Ben Simmons debate. It revolved around Ben Simmons, but I forget what we were debating about and why it was you versus Reynolds.
I don't know if we were debating if he was a superstar or not, or if he was better than Jason Tatum. I don't remember which one it was.
It was one of the two, but nevertheless, Brandon Ng, my good friend, is here with us today. As obviously you don't hear Noah Gugliotta, otherwise known as Googs. He won't be on today, and Sean Johnson is MIA. Can't get a hold of him. I emailed him, called him, nothing. It's typical Sean. We love him though, but it's typical, yeah, Sean.
Nothing surprising.
No, not at all. But Brandon's here. He's a big basketball fan, massive Celtics fan. I call him the basketball handicapper in our little betting group chat, because this man, he brings the wins when it comes to basketball parlays. Even though he loses some, when he wins big. So it's good to have you on, and you know, kind of a perfect timing, as you know, as today, as this is going to be airing on a Thursday, it's going to come out the 24th. Second half of the NBA season starts. We just had the All-Star break of 2022 come and go, and you know, we'll get right into it then. You know, Friday night obviously is kind of the appetizer, you should say, of the weekend, celebrity All-Star game and the Rising Stars, the rookie game. You know, Brandon, what were your kind of initial thoughts on kind of Friday night? I know we were out and about Friday night, as you know, but you know, the celebrity All-Star game, you know, I had some superstars, Machine Gun Kelly, Myles Garrett. We saw some highlights. What were your thoughts of it? Are you a fan of it? And you know, after I get your thoughts on this celebrity All-Star game, what has been your favorite one or favorite moment, you should say, from a celebrity All-Star game that you could think of from years past? I know I gave you a kind of a loaded question there.
Yes. I was watching the highlights of the game because I said we were out, but the game was actually pretty entertaining. Like, some of these guys like actually practiced like a lot to get ready for this game, which I appreciated. And then, because you get to watch it on TV, these guys actually look like basketball players, even though some of them aren't. Like Myles Garrett, like, this man's got bounce and he's dunking the ball. And he's a football player. Like,
yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. And I know the Cleveland Browns are kind of just like closing their eyes and just hoping he doesn't get hurt, because, you know, you've seen guys that do like pickup basketball games or stuff like that, and they get hurt. And I know there's clauses in people's contracts where like, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, Patrick Mahomes has a clause in his contract for stuff like that. So you just hope that Myles Garrett doesn't get hurt, which he didn't, but which is great. And yeah, I mean, they practice. I don't think Machine Gun Kelly practiced, because this man was bricking everything that he was putting up.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. And I think Megan Fox was there. So, I mean, come on, you got to.
That's okay. He already scored in that kind of way.
That is true. He did get a bucket with her. But Brandon, to add to it, is there a favorite moment from any celebrity All-Star game that you could think of that kind of, whenever you think of that event, there's a moment that's attached to it?
I'd probably say Kevin Hart, honestly, when he was in the All-Star, like the celebrity All-Star game for like those few years. Like, he was always hilarious when he was mic'd up, making everyone laugh during the game. Like, was it really entertaining to watch when he won like MVP and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's nice having like a comedian on the court.
Yeah, and he showed, and he absolutely just didn't do anything, and just his comedic presence won him the trophy. But Don, what about you? I know, you know, I'm pretty sure you didn't really watch it, but is there a memorable moment from years past that kind of stood out to you during this kind of this fun event that we fans get to witness?
Yeah, no, I don't really get into the celebrity stuff too much. I don't think he's ever been in it, but this probably goes outside of the game itself. But watching Adam Sandler as a celebrity hoop is actually very entertaining. He's a baller.
Yeah.
I find Adam Sandler funny. So, guy here is really nice. My dad's met him. My best friend has also met him. Really nice guy. So, has he ever been in the celebrity game?
He should. I don't think he has. He should, though. Like, this man can hoop.
He can.
He's a bucket. And to add to it, he's got a new basketball movie coming out on Netflix called Hustle.
That's right. With him and...
It's a few of the 76ers players. Yeah. Because it was filmed in Philly. So, the trailer dropped that weekend. So, funny you mention him. But as we move forward, it kind of the later part of that night, it was kind of it's like the rookie showcase game and the sophomore kind of game, the rising stars game or rookie game, you should say. And they did it a little bit differently this year. Usually it's Team USA versus Team International, but this year they did it a kind of a round robin kind of style. There were six teams and they kind of duked it out in a round robin bracket. They did a target score of 50 points. Brandon, what was your kind of initial thoughts? I know this is kind of this new thing that we're seeing during the weekend is kind of these target scores, no longer kind of this whole like regular 12-minute quarters. We're seeing it now in this. We'll get to it in the All-Star game, but that's become a new thing. Were you a fan of kind of this new way, and do you want to see it continue going forward?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a good like change up because like, the Rising Stars game is something like I always watched like back then. Like I remember like it was just rookies versus sophomores originally, and then they changed it to like Team USA versus Team World. But I feel like this was like a good way to like mix it up and make it interesting, having like NBA legends coach these young guys, which is really interesting. So yeah, it made it really entertaining, like the like tournament style. So yeah. All the, like, players like they tried a little bit, like not just let like everything go.
Yeah, and it's funny how, you know, the first game we kind of saw, you know, Cole Anthony got so mad, he tried to moon the guy to try to miss the shot. Obviously, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, it could have if he was that bad of a three-throw shooter, but I knew when he did that, I was like, that's not going to work. But it was interesting, I say the least. But obviously, kind of, even though the All-Star game is great, people really look forward to, in my opinion, kind of Saturday night, which is the skills challenge, 3-point shootout, and the dunk contest. The skills challenge had, it was different this year. This is the one they're always like changing up and everything. This year it was different. It was three teams of three. It was the rookies and Scotty Barnes, Josh Giddey, and Kate Cunningham. And then it was the Cavs trio, I would call them the upcoming big three. Like, cause they are coming. This team is coming. Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, I miss him, and Darius Garland. And then we have the Antetokounmpo brothers. And my God, are Giannis's brothers bad? Dom, did you watch them or did you catch the highlights
of what exactly?
All that? The skills challenge. So did you watch? Like, cause did you watch it? You got to
catch the highlights.
They're atrocious. Oh my, like Giannis makes them look like they're in high school, like to their skill set. It was rough, but you know, so to get into it, kind of the skills challenge was they did like three different challenges, and the team with the highest score got a certain number of points, and the team with the most points won. So they did a passing challenge where they tried to pass it into the kind of the right, ring
little cylinder,
yeah. Right, but they had to do it as fast as they could in a certain amount of time. And then there was
the shooting challenge,
the patch challenge, and then there was
a relay race
that's usually kind of the main event. Was always kind of the main thing, and they kind of got rid of that. So I mean, are you a fan of kind of these three different things? Do you miss kind of the relay thing where it was like, you know, different people, it was guards, forward, centers kind of going at it? Because this is the first year I think they've done this. Like, I don't think they
Yeah, I think it's because, I mean, like for me, the skill challenge is probably like the least exciting event out of the three on Saturday night. So I feel like this was like a good way, like the MA mixing it up again with like the rookie sophomore game, like trying to make it interesting, which I think they definitely did, because like it was just like entertaining having them like compete against each other. Like every team wanted it, you know, so I feel like the MA did a good job of just making it more competitive and more entertaining to watch with like the new formats and everything.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they have to, they're definitely trying to mix and match new ways to kind of engage the fans. And obviously, we're going to get into the big debate in a little bit with the dunk contest. But moving over to the three-point contest, which is kind of, in my opinion, the kind of, it's becoming the best thing to look forward to that night. The person with the longest odds won in Karl-Anthony Towns. He was plus 1,200 and plus 1,300 on sportsbooks, and he won. And he almost cashed our bet as a group. All of us were in Philadelphia for Ryan's 23rd birthday party, and everyone took a bet of a player, one player in the 3-point contest had to score at least 32 points in the bet cash. But we didn't realize how difficult that was, because I think there's what, like out of all the points you can score the max, like what, like 36?
Let me think.
If it's like, so if you have five racks, your one rack's a money ball rack, so that's 10 right there.
And then six times four, that's 24, 34. I think max is 40 with the two, like, three-point balls, too.
Yeah, so in essence, you can only miss, like, eight times.
Yeah.
It's hard. And we thought, oh, this is a lock. And then we were all watching. We're like, oh, no. Like we were sweating. And we came close. We came close. Luke Kennard, round one, he put up 28. He got our hopes up. And then Karl-Anthony Towns, he was getting hot, and we thought we had it with him. But I think he ended with 20. He ended with 29.
Yeah, 29.
Just missed it. So it was a shame. But obviously, I mean, your guys' opinion, that's probably becoming the most electrifying event of that night.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite event. Like the dunk contest, probably the best one we had was 2016. It was like Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon. That's probably the last like good dunk contest I can remember. Yeah, the 3-point contest has definitely taken over, in my opinion, as like the best one on Saturday night.
And what about you, Don? You feel the same way?
Yeah, I've always thought the 3-point contest was like the underrated like shadow. I always felt like that. It's always good to see. You root for those guys that you usually root for. And yeah, good for Towns. I saw something that was pretty cool. And that, you know, jewelry is prohibited wearing it in game, even for the All-Star break. But the league allowed Towns to wear one. I believe it was with his mother's name, but it resembled his mom who passed with COVID, unfortunately. Obviously tough for him, and he's had very tough family experiences with that so far. But it was cool to see that he was allowed to wear that, and that's what probably motivated him to win.
Yeah, and the fact that Steph Curry gave him some pointers going into it, there was that clip that's been going around of him talking to Steph prior to the 3-point contest, because Steph was on the stage. I guess he was promoting some reality TV show that him and his wife Aisha were producing, and then during the break he came down and like he waved Steph over to give him some pointers, because obviously greatest 3-point shooter to ever live, you need pointers from that guy. So he got some, and obviously it helped them claim victory. But ooh, the dunk contest, man, oh man, was this bad? This was really, really, really bad.
I do have a question for that.
Yeah.
Was it like, was there like any props used or anything, or was it just straight like bland as tofu? Like,
the only props they were using was like, you know how like they'll bring on like people to like hold the ball,
yeah,
or dunk over. Like it was that nonsense stuff. So that was where it was. It was the fact that they were doing that, which we've seen a billion times.
Yep.
And right. The way that they were doing it wasn't anything that we haven't seen before. And the fact that we don't know these guys, right? I mean, this isn't Ja Morant. This isn't Zach LaVine. What?
I was gonna say when I was working the other day, right? And I was looking at the odds for the most favorite and stuff. I was like, besides like Obi Toppin, I'm like, who are these guys? I thought that was just me. Not gonna lie. All right, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're not alone. Yeah, because trust me, besides Obi Toppin, like no one really cared for any of these guys. So there's two, and I want to get your guys' kind of takes on like what you think they should do, is the fact that the superstars aren't coming out and doing these anymore, right? Vince, like the Vince Carters of the world of this league aren't doing it. Michael, like the Michael Jordans, which is like LeBron, like they're not doing it, right? Those guys did it. They're not doing it in there right now. And also there's no creativity anymore, right? I mean, we're seeing the same stuff year in and year out. It's just not fun. So I think they either got to put more incentive into like bigger stars doing it, 'cause I don't think there is, or, you know, I think Dom, you're going to get into in this when I go to you, is that they need to probably come up with some new game for them to do, because it's just not it. But Brandon, I'll go to you first. Like, what are your critiques about it? What do you think they should do? And, you know, do you think they should ultimately just get rid of it altogether? Because this one was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to like make or try to get like the big like highlight dunkers to participate in it when there's like still another half of the season to go and they have to like rest up during the All-Star break. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe try to bring in people from like the G League or something. That could be like something like Mac McClung. Like, I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he's like this bouncy kid on like the Lakers G League team. But like, I don't know, it's hard to like get people to join because, you know, they don't want to exert themselves too much, especially when like they might be playing in the All-Star game the next night too.
Yeah,
I feel like they might need to like make a change, fix the format like they did for like the Skills Challenge or like the rookie game, the Rising Stars game.
Mm-hmm. But they did do that. I remember they did do it. Remember that one year they had it where it was like, mm-hmm, they had it like you had to get off like as many dunks as possible.
Yeah, there was like teams of three or something. I remember.
Yeah. And that didn't, everyone hated that.
I don't remember liking that either. I feel like it's kind of like a staple, you know, of like All-Star Weekend. I don't know if you scrap it all together.
Yeah, like that is true. Like the history, the thing about it, yeah, the one thing that's really keeping it there is the history behind it, mm-hmm, with like the Jordan, Dominique Wilkins matchups back in the day. You know, obviously the Vince Carter 2000 dunk contest, which was probably, yeah, the greatest one we've ever seen. Jason Richardson going back to back in 02, 03. Nate Robinson winning it, you know, in the late 2000s, and just kind of these little moments that we have with like Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin. And obviously the most recent one we just had that we regard as one of the great ones was that do the back and forth of Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine. Yes. But that was six years ago. So it wasn't one of us. You're like, good God. And the other thing is, God, we're getting old. Cause we were in high school when that happened.
Yeah.
Now we're grown ass adults, but Dom, you are for scrapping this whole thing, correct?
Yeah, I am. Listen, you're right, boys. 2016 was the last time it was pretty decent, I would say. Wasn't that all? I think Gordon should have won too. I think that was the year that like, mm-hmm, Gordon should have won, but LaVine put on a show. When it comes down to it, boys, here's what I think. Scrap it all together. And you guys, I'm going to, you know, they say time machines don't exist, but guess what? I'm about to take you guys back. You guys remember when you would go to gym class in middle school and there would be two basketballs right on the center of the court and you knew what you were playing that day? Yeah.
Yeah.
Knockout. Imagine NBA players playing knockout. You got someone to play for. Next thing you know, Luka Doncic makes a layup and it's like, oh, LeBron's out and et cetera. And it keeps going. That would be lit. I would actually like glue my eyes to the TV. I think that would be really fun. It's one of the most successful games out there for all generations to play, right? And it's one that people look most forward to. Why not have it with the best players on earth doing it for one night?
I think that could work. I mean, you could do it like, you could also like maybe like instead of having one game, you could have like two games going on, and then, yeah, and then you have like, and then app, well, actually, yeah, you could possibly do like two games and then like maybe like the final four or like the final two. Actually, wait, no, that doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to think, there's always one winner. So that wouldn't make sense. Right.
I was going to say, maybe like if you're throwing like ideas out there, maybe like a game of horse, like that would be crazy. Like all the different shots, yeah, you guys could probably do. Like
that'd be kind of cool. Wasn't it? Didn't they do something like that in quarantine? There was like a virtual, there was like a virtual horse.
Was in it once. Like, yeah, I don't remember like when they did it though. I don't know if it was like part of like the Saturday night festivities or whatever, or if it was like something different. But yeah, I do remember there was like something like that though.
Yeah, and I remember everyone kind of got hyped for it and then it kind of like fell flat on his face. I don't know, it was because it was virtual and like we were in quarantine and it was kind of hard to kind of do it. I don't remember, but I do remember them kind of testing that out. But that is a good idea because that would be kind of wild, you know? And also, like you said, they're not exerting that much energy, right? They're not, you know, they kind of just can do whatever they want. So that'd be cool. But moving forward or moving along, obviously Sunday night was the big night, all-star, the actual all-star game, Team LeBron versus Team Durant, even though Kevin Durant didn't play for the second year in a row due to injury. You know, and this, and obviously, you know, Brandon, this was kind of a bigger event because of the 75th anniversary. 75 of the greatest players were showcased at halftime during the game. And I want to bring this up to you because you're a big Celtics fan, and obviously the big three, Garnett, Pierce, Allen, you probably saw the video of him introducing Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett just looking up and just not giving a fuck. Just like did not care. And you know, he was next to Paul Pierce, Garnett, and just they didn't care. So are you tired of this rift that these guys got going on? Or like, you know, what's your stance on it? Because it's been going on for a while. The rumor is that he got mad, they got mad when he left to go to Miami and kind of ditched them. So I mean, what are your thoughts on it? Because obviously you grew up kind of with them. That was kind of your introduction to kind of basketball with those three guys. So you know, kind of your thoughts on that.
I feel like, yeah, it's kind of like more petty now. I feel like they should just bury the hatchet, you know, like it's been so long already. Like what's 2013 when Ray Allen left to the Heat.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like, I mean, everyone makes their own choices, you know, like you got to respect like his decision, even though he went to like a rival in the East. But I mean, yeah, they're all legends. They're all on the NBA 75th anniversary team. Like, they should just enjoy their success. Like, the success they had together and then the success they had individually as well. I feel like, I don't know, it's just getting old, you know?
Right.
I think Paul Pierce posted a picture of all three of them, so maybe they did bury the hatchet.
Okay. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe that was after the fact. I don't know, maybe they talked it out or... Maybe people just blew up that video and made it a story because, you know,
that video was hilarious.
But that's what the media does, you know. Yeah. But obviously going back to actually the All-Star game, you know, and obviously the man that kind of put on a show, and we were kind of waiting for him to at least one time in his career put on a show, and that was Steph Curry. And he reminded everybody of why he is who he is. Dropped 40 plus points, was hitting everything, God's green earth. Yeah, it was 50. It was insane. And the most memorable one shot for me was, you know, he was, you know, at the logo, shot it, turned around, and just stared at Trae Young. Just eyeballed him, just be like, yeah, young fella, do this, and then we'll talk. You know, I think that, you know, and also this kind of brings to the point of this argument again of is he the face of basketball?
I feel like he is. I mean, like, you see where the Warriors are and you see where the Lakers are with LeBron. I feel like there's still probably room for debate, but like, I feel like LeBron's kind of losing that status as the face of the league right now. It's either Curry or Giannis in my eyes right now.
What about you, Dom?
The face of basketball. I think it's Curry just because I feel like kids can relate to him to where they're like, oh, look at that. He's not one of the bigger guys on the court dominating the game in such a way you've never heard of before. So I'll go Steph Curry.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I got to go with Curry just for the fact that, you know, anybody can do what he can do. And the fact that he's just, you know, he's likable. He's been with one team his entire career. He's getting up there in age. So he runs in his mid 30s, but he's not that as old as LeBron. Like, LeBron's 37. So we know that he is probably going to be on his way out, but rumor is he wants to play with Bronny. So we'll see how that all pans out or whatever. But it's got to be Curry. And that just kind of, it just showcased why, like, the shots that he was making, it was just like, who can do that? And LeBron was like, everybody was giving him praise. Like, LeBron said he's got a sniper on his arm, he can do no wrong. Like, it was It was, in my opinion, it was magical, right? Just, it was just in awe. And, you know, I say this to a lot of people is that, you know, I think you guys agree, is the fact that, you know, we got to enjoy kind of watching these guys, because at some point they're going to retire and then we're going to be like, man, look back on that stuff. So it's good to kind of enjoy the moment watching them play, because we're witnessing greatness. That's why in 2016, I was so like, I wanted the Wolves to win, as you did, Brandon, because of like the history and that we got to witness the greatest team ever win and do it all. But obviously that didn't happen, as you know, we saw LeBron just make the greatest comeback of all time. But that's something that we all get to relive and, you know, and tell, you know, our friends and kids one day and all that good stuff. But obviously with the All-Star break, you know, coming and going, second half of the season is now upon us, and it's a tight race in both conferences right now. And, you know, we'll start with the East. You know, Brandon, you're obviously the big Celtics fan. You know, in the beginning of the season, you guys were kind of up and down. There were a lot of concerns, question marks regarding the team. You guys then get ridiculously hot, go on a 9-game win streak. Obviously it got broken up by the Pistons, of all teams. You lose to the Pistons, but you know, that's okay. You know, Alex, it's got to end at some point. But after seeing that win streak and kind of going to the second half, knowing kind of how Brooklyn is kind of dealing with kind of the injuries and stuff, even though they just made the big trade, and obviously Philly has kind of been a little iffy, and you know, Milwaukee's not this juggernaut team that everyone thought they were going to be, even though they're still really good. What are your kind of expectations as we push ahead, you know, to the playoffs in a, you know, in a month or so?
Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I don't know, for the Celtics in like the beginning of the year, like, you know, there's a new coach, new coaching staff, and like the team was, the Celtics always have a lot of roster turnover like season to season, so it takes a little bit of time to, you know, build that chemistry and like get the team going. So I feel like there was just a bunch of like, I don't know, I guess guys didn't buy into the system yet. But I feel like this winning streak shows like what like they're capable of. Like they can be a contender in the East, because the East is wide open. I feel like any team like 1-7 can like pull off an upset or something and get to the finals. But yeah, I feel like they showed me like I can root for this team. Like they'll pull through for me, I think. I feel like, I mean, losing to the Pistons obviously sucks, like going into the All-Star break, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like they were just trying to get to the break, and then hopefully they'll be ready for the second half of the season though.
What are you seeing from like Tatum and Brown? Like, what improvements have you seen from them? Cause obviously, right, those are your guys, you know, they're the anchors of the team. If they go, the team goes. So, and you know, Tatum was struggling a lot. Like, he was being very streaky early on. He was putting up very inefficient games. So what do you have seen from him that you think has turned the corner? Has his shot selection gotten better? Is he passing more? Is he not like, well, like what's he doing that's, you know, turning the corner for him? And then in essence, kind of the team.
So I feel like being in the year, he was definitely in like one of like the biggest shooting slumps of his career. And then I feel like just as like, you know, as the season went on and like they just kept playing together, I feel like the chemistry builds. And then I feel like it's less your turn, my turn with the offense between like him and Jaylen Brown, because that's usually how it ends up. Sometimes it's just ISO ball between those two. So I feel like now during like the win streak, they're playing more like a team, like moving the ball. I see Jason Tatum like making more of an effort to pass the ball, get his teammates involved. Not so much Jaylen Brown yet, but I feel like he'll make that next step in his career soon. But yeah, Tatum is definitely looking to make plays for his teammates, and he's looking to get to the rim more instead of, you know, settling for a tough shot. So I feel like that's obviously helped like propel the Celtics up the standings.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think, you know, obviously the big issue was ISO ball, because you know, Tatum's, you know, I remember in the beginning, right, when he first came on the scene, like 2016, 2017, he played really well, and then he kind of became this ISO player. You know, people say it was the influence of Kyrie Irving that you guys had for a little bit, even though who knows, like he was barely with the team and barely played with you guys. But I think you're right. And look, we have to remember, like, he's like our age, right? Like
he's a year older than me.
Yeah. He's 23. Like people like, I think people forget that he's 23 and think of him as he's like 27, 28.
He's not even in his prime yet.
Yeah, which is kind of scary. So it's like we haven't seen the best of him. So the best is yet to come. And obviously he's locked up for the long term. In my opinion, I don't think he's ever leaving your organization.
Yeah, I hope not.
Like, I think they're going to do whatever they can. Every time he's also for an extension, they're just going to, here you go, here's the max, go on, here's your money, keep playing for us. I think it's going to be the same for both him and Brown, unless there's a fallout. But by the looks of it, I don't see it happening. You know, there hasn't been a fallout. There hasn't been a fallout yet. Then, you know, obviously when you're young, it happens, right? It happened with Shaq and Penny, happened with Shaq and Kobe. You know, so when you're young, you get a, you know, your ego gets the best of you, but I don't think it's like that with those guys. So I am kind of scared for me as a Nets fan. I am now scared to face you guys now. you know, as we move forward to my Nets, who endured one of the worst losing streaks ever, 11 game losing streak, to kind of spiral into the All-Star break, even though we went on a little 2-game win streak before losing to the Wizards. Yeah, recovered a little bit in a big way, down 28 to the New York Knicks on Wednesday night basketball on ESPN, down 28 points. And I'm like, well, here's another loss. And then I'm like, you know what? This is the New York Knicks. We could possibly come back. And we started chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And then the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter happened. And Cam Thomas just went nuts, and the Knicks had no answer, couldn't do anything right. And we beat them by a score of 111-106. I think, in my opinion, if we don't win the championship, and obviously I want us to, but if we don't, that is the highlight of the season for me right there. Beating them by 28, going down 28 points, seeing Stephen A. Smith just utterly embarrassed and just sad and just angry at the Knicks. Me, like, just ripping on our friends, saying that the Knicks suck, you guys choke, sit down, New York. Like, it was just beautiful. Cause it's like, you cannot come back from that. There is no comeback for you to say as a Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. That was a gritty comeback. You know, Steph Curry, like, that was his first game or second game.
Second game.
And like Sam Drummond. So I feel like having those two guys added to your roster, like, just brings in a little bit more depth I feel like you guys needed, like, especially without Harden. Mm-hmm. And no Kyrie for a lot of games. But yeah, I feel like that'll put you in a better position going forward, you know, just having more pieces that you can play with. Just having the rotation, especially in the playoffs when
you need
vets to play. You got two good ones in Seth Curry and Drummond.
Mm-hmm. And we just added one in Dragic a couple days ago. So we'll see how that goes. And I know, like, people are saying that, you know, oh, like, they're just adding stars. And it's like, you know, obviously it looks cool on paper, but is it going to work when it's on the court? That's the big question, right? We got Dragic, right? We have another backup. We have a nice backup point guard to Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons. But is it going to work? And that's always, you know, that's the big what if. It's my what if going into it when these guys come back, because Ben Simmons has reportedly started to be ramping up pretty quickly, according to Sean Marks. So he could be back sooner than expected. Kevin Durant, I give him like 2 weeks and he's back. I think he's got.
Really?
I mean, it's
there's a timetable for him. Yeah.
It's been 4 weeks. Like, it's been a month. Like, come on. I'm still pissed off at Bruce Brown, because he's the one that got him that injury. Like, you had a flop and just bang into his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thanks. But anyway, but I mean, look, I'm excited. I know we didn't talk really about the trade on the show. I mean, look, I'm going to say, I think the Nets won the trade. I mean, because our window to the Sixers window is way more open than theirs because of Harden. Because I think, and agree to disagree, the both of you, but, you know, you have 2 years with Harden, basically. And if you don't win, the process is done. If they don't win in 2 years, the process fails. I've said this. I've thought about this. I said this to Ryan Reynolds, our big Sixers fan, friend of the show. And he agrees with me. If they don't win in 2 years, it fails. Completely fails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Dom, I know you haven't spoken. Would you agree if they don't win in the next 2 years, it fails?
120 million billion percent agreed.
Yeah. I mean, they just can't I mean, you do it with Ben. You try to do it with Ben Simmons. It didn't work. Now you have you had Jimmy Butler. You let him walk. You signed Tobias. Okay. Now you have this. You have to do it now, right? It was, and also I think, in my opinion, this is the biggest, and this is where I agree with Stephen A. Smith, because I know we all kind of bash on him and he makes some ridiculous remarks, but he's right in the terms of like, if his leg, James Harden's legacy is on the line. This is the third team he's been on in the last 3 years. Okay. Every time he wants out, he gets what he wants. He cries like a little baby and gets out. And you're paying him upwards of $50 million. Like, yeah, you can't just be like, that's not how it always worked in the NBA, but even the players have all the power. And it's not how it works in the real world, but you're this gifted player and therefore you have all this power. So, I mean, you know, Dom, we'll start with you first. You know, does this, if it doesn't work out, if there's rifts between Harden and Embiid, is his legacy ruined?
I think it's tainted. You know, I think you can, you know who I would actually compare it to? A former teammate, Russell Westbrook, right? Right? When he got out of OKC, you know, he went through the Rockets, the Wizards, the Lakers. So he's bouncing around. When Rajon Rondo stopped becoming a Celtic, look where he's been, all over the planet. It's just weird, but I feel like we tend to see this when a longtime player on a team for several years leaves and then goes to another team. Every year or so, it's not good. It's it really hurts the resume. And yes, I think this will for Harden, and for such a talented player too. It's a shame. I really don't know the whole rift of what happened. It's unfortunate, Anthony. I think they played like 15 games, the Nets, all three of them together.
Yeah,
and they did well when they played, obviously, but it wasn't for much. I don't know. The one thing I did wonder when they got Harden, the Nets, that year, last year, oh, wow, would you look at that, was when, you know, would him and Durant get along? Because I feel like they didn't get along in OKC because Harden then became a superstar and he obviously wants to get the ball. And Durant had those issues with Westbrook. So I feel like, yeah, this is definitely going to be it. If he's not pleased in Philadelphia, if he doesn't get along with Embiid, it could be anything. Then it's going to really hurt his career. It's just going to be, it's going to be a game of, where does Harden wind up next year? You know? So that's going to be it.
Yeah. And I mean, look, yeah, you're right. Those big three, Kyrie, Durant, and Harden played 16 games, went 13-3. And it's just a shame that it was like this big what if, right? We never got to see him play like 30 games or like a half a season or even a full season together. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame of kind of what happened. You know, I kind of had to, I liked him on the team, even though I was able to, you know, that I get to kind of enjoy kind of the BS calls he got. Now I got to deal with his crap again, as now no longer on my team, but you know, it is what it is. But, you know, but Brandon, going to you with this whole James Harden debate, you know, what are your thoughts kind of just as kind of the player of him over the last couple of years that you've seen from him, the fact that he, you know, refused to go to Rockets practice and he gained all that weight. Then he comes to Brooklyn, like, and starts balling out. And then there's this whole drama again with the team he doesn't want to play. And there's this hamstring injury and he gets shipped off to Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's definitely not the best look for him because, you know, I mean, like Harden, he's like a top five player in the league. He's engaged and healthy and like playing, he's on the floor. But like, I feel like all these other like distractions that come with him, like if he's not happy on the team, he's just gonna want out. He's gonna sit out, like maybe fake an injury. We don't know for sure yet, but like I feel like it just kind of like, as Dom said, it like taints his legacy as, you know, as like an MVP caliber player in the league. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Do you think that this deal is gonna work with Harden and Embiid? Do you think it'll work?
I mean, I think they're going to have to find a way to make it work. I feel like those two together, like as like a 1-2, I feel like it's probably the best one in the league right now, honestly, like just talent wise. Mm-hmm. I don't think any other team has a 1-2, like top two duo like that in the league right now.
I agree. I think they're really, really now, in my opinion, they're really top heavy now. I think that's what they're becoming. I think they're becoming kind of the new, I want to, like, they're becoming the new Nets in the way, right? They're really top heavy with their starters, and then you go to the bench and they kind of lost a little bit of depth. Mm-hmm. And Drummond was the big one that they lost, in my opinion. That was the key factor, and everyone's saying that that was the big piece that kind of made or break that trade and made the Nets kind of win. It was Drummond, of us getting him and taking him away from them, because that's the best backup Embiid's ever going to have. I think losing him is a big blow, but you know, they're probably going to do something in the buyout market. They're probably going to get a center, hopefully. Daryl Morey is going to probably do something, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, this Nets Sixers rivalry is just going to get that much more entertaining, especially with Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. He's definitely not coming to Philadelphia in a couple weeks, March 16th. He is definitely staying in New York, guarantee it, because they are going to rip into him so hard. I don't think that if he were to step foot, and like, if they see him, I don't even want to imagine what will happen at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah. I don't know if like mentally he's even ready to like step foot in Philly again.
No. Yeah. Not even to the city. He might get run up on and shot on, but, but anyway, moving on from kind of the East teams, moving kind of towards the West. And you know, the Lakers made a lot of news over the All-Star weekend, and as it's because of LeBron James's comments and kind of his little jabs that he made about the organization and kind of where he stands in his career. You know, there's rumors are going around that, you know, he is visibly upset with the organization, that obviously they didn't do any trades, and that, you know, they didn't do what he asked. Mind you, that they got him Russell Westbrook, and that's what he and AD wanted, and now you want him out, so you can't have everything you want, LeBron. And the fact that, you know, he was giving high praise to Sam Presti, the Thunder GM, for, you know, just being able to scout and draft these amazing players, which I do agree with. Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Josh Giddey, Shea Alexander, all these phenomenal players he was able to bring out. And I think it was a jab at Rob Pelinka and how not great of a GM he is. And the look, the Lakers are just really bad. They're an old team. This is the typical team of, like, you see it on paper and it looks great, but you put it on the court and it's bad. That's the Lakers team. Like, they're just that team. And on paper it looks great, on the court it looks bad. So from your point, I mean, they're not making the playoffs, but the whole thing of AD getting the tours passed to him, he's out for another month, right? He has a sprain in his heel or ankle. He has an ankle sprain. The thing was that LeBron was supposed to pass it towards the AD. AD is supposed to be the number one guy. LeBron's supposed to be the number two guy. Is that ever going to – do you think that's ever going to happen? I'll start with you, Brandon. I'll go to you, Dom.
AD has to be on the court for that to happen. He can't stay healthy. It feels like this man's made of glass. Like, he's never on the court for, like, a consistent amount of time. Like, he's always on and off with injuries. So I feel like until, like, he can figure out a way to, you know, I mean, injuries, they're not always, like, the player's fault. It's usually just bad luck. You land on someone's foot or something. Mm-hmm. But, it's just hard to, you know, take over that number one spot when you're not on the floor all the time.
What about you, Dom?
You know, a lot of people are wearing, well, not a lot of people, but you got people wearing hazmat suits, right, because of COVID. I think Anthony Davis needs to wear one, because whenever anyone touches him, he breaks. That's it. You know, he can't stay healthy. It's a shame. I called this since the trade happened, and obviously they won their little Mickey Mouse ring. But listen, at the end of the day, this is what LeBron wanted. He wanted AD. He can't – listen, tremendous player when he's on the field. On the field, what am I saying? Football's over when he's on the court. But he can't stay healthy. This Lakers team doesn't have a bench. They lost players, and – it's just LeBron and AD show. Sometimes I think Caldwell Pope is still on the team. No, he's not.
It's on the Wizards.
Who's the guy? I'm thinking maybe Taylor Horton Jr. or
Taylor Horton Tucker.
Tucker, yeah, he sometimes balls out, but otherwise than that, the Lakers really have no one. I get why LeBron's frustrated, but I really don't feel bad for him, because this is the team that he, you know, with GM established.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean, you do have a point, is that, you know, you can feel bad for him, because I kind of don't, because it's like, okay, to your point, Dom, You wanted AD, you got AD. Mm-hmm. You wanted Russell Westbrook, you got Russell Westbrook. You wanted Carmelo Anthony on your team, and you got Carmelo Anthony on your team. What more do you want? Like, okay, like, obviously, it's not working out. Russell Westbrook was never a great shooter, and obviously, as he's getting older, right, he's not going to have the same bounce and athleticism that he once did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
His shooting has not improved. It's gotten worse. So he has regressed so bad that he is now a silver in 2K or a bronze. I don't know, Brad. Is he a bronze or is it silver? 79.
I can't tell you.
I mean, you play 2K. I don't play 2K.
What's
anymore.
His rating?
79.
I think that's like a gold, maybe.
Well, he's no longer in the 90s anymore. That's for damn sure. Yeah. But I mean, look, it's just, it's sad. And, you know, the fact that LeBron has also said that, you know, don't rule out him coming back to Cleveland with what they got going on, which I do not want to happen at all. I think that's going to ruin LeBron's legacy. If he goes back to Cleveland for a third time, I'm just like, nope.
Especially now that they're doing well without him. I think Cleveland's making a big statement, and I like seeing that. Yeah, so that would suck. I'm speechless with that.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, he came in the beginning, obviously left, kind of, it was like his college years, you could say, right? You know, figure it out, have some fun. That's what I call it. Then he comes back, learns, gives you guys the championship. He leaves again. At this point now, to Dom's point, you have this young core. Why would you mess it up and bring LeBron in? Because you know LeBron's going to want to take control. And I really don't think that they want that to happen with this nucleus that they have going on. And the fact that they have to figure out payroll stuff to get him on the team, because he's going to probably want a lot of money. Maybe, I don't know. Like, we'll see. Maybe he'll take a pay cut later on in his career, but I don't see it. I don't want to see it. I think it'll ruin his legacy. Obviously, he's number two in my books of the greatest all time. If he goes to Cleveland, he drops to like, he drops in my top five because of that. Like, you just can't. Let's like go. I don't know. That's my opinion. I know, Dom, you kind of feel the same way, but what about you, Brandon? If he goes back the third time.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a good look for him and them. And I think even for the Cavs, I don't think they want him, because I feel like they're a young team. They have something to prove. They want to, like, you know, make their own legacy in Cleveland, you know, not have to like ride on LeBron again. This team is young. They fight, they compete. Like, they're a good scrappy team in the East right now.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to cause some problems in the playoffs.
They're cause some problems this year and moving forward, because they are all young. They're all restricted free agents. You know, none of them is entering. No one's entering close to unrestricted free agency. The closest one would have been Jared Allen, but they locked him up just recently to a 5-year contract. So he's not going anywhere. And I love that, man. I wish Brooklyn never traded him, but you know, what's done is done. But yeah, I think that Cleveland just got to, like you say, create their own legacy. The LeBron era in that phase of their organization is over. It was a great run. They, you know, they builded him up. You got the ring. Time to move on. Now, his best friend, Chris Paul, his sons are 41-10. They already clinched a playoff berth, basically. If the season were to end today, they are in. And, you know, and if they were to lose all their games, they would be a play-in team. Chris Paul, Wednesday night, fractures his finger. He's out basically until the playoffs, 6 to 8 weeks. This is like the second or third time in this man's career where he has gotten sustained an injury like this in a big, in a moment where, you know, your team's doing so well and that you're the catalyst and that this happens, you know? So Dom, I'll go to you first, kind of what do you think of this injury, and can they kind of ride this out with him out? Right. Because they have been so good. Like,
yeah, it's been great. I mean, the Suns, you know, I go wherever CP3 goes, and I was rooting for the Suns against the Bucks, but I'm happy for Antetokounmpo and everything. Now, as I pull up the standings and everything, this is going to be tough for the Suns to control this, because we know, I personally think, I know it's a bold take, but CP3 is the best, in my opinion, is the best team player of all time. And that's saying something. I think no matter where he goes, he makes the team better. Look at the Suns. They were, before Chris Paul, they're going to be okay. They only have Devin Booker. They don't have a future. And now they're 48-10, 6.5 up on the Warriors. That's crazy because of this guy right here. CP3, who knows how to manage an offense. He's still got the old school, which I respect about him. He doesn't have to take over a game with 35, 45 points. You know, he gets the assists, double doubles. This is going to hurt the Suns, I feel like. When it comes down to it, Devin Booker is going to have to take over big time, which he is a tremendous player, and I'm sure he'll do so. But I want to see where else do they go. I mean, I know Goran Dragic, which I think we mentioned earlier, he went to the Nets. He might have went to a Suns reunion, but that did not happen. And they need a point guard to kind of get in their way. Because I feel like the Suns are going to be in trouble and the Warriors are going to creep up real quick. Because besides Booker taking over, what kind of ball movement is there going to be? You're not going to see the alley-oops or the beautiful, you know, Neal passes to DeAndre Ayton or Mikal Bridges taking over a game. I just think this is going to hurt, which is unfortunate. But if he comes back at the right time around the playoffs and the Suns still manage to hold that top 1-4 seeding, they'll be okay.
I mean, what do you think, Brandon? I mean, do you think they could hold it down and can't, you know, have the one seed, or do you think they're going to slip? Because this is a massive, this is a big, big blow. And by the way, rip record. Sorry, man. I know you're probably listening to this, but your fantasy team's done, my guy. I'm sorry. I love you, man, but your team's done.
I feel like it's definitely going to hurt. They might lose a few extra games than they would, like, if he was playing. But I feel like the Suns team is deep enough. I mean, we saw in the bubble, like, they won all their games in the bubble. I feel like this team is deep enough right now. They've matured. They've gotten better. They have a great, like, supporting cast. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Ayton. I feel like they can survive. You know, Cam Payne, he'll probably be starting now. And he proved in the playoffs that he can contribute to a team. And I think they'll keep their heads above water, though, in the West. Because Coach Monty Williams, like, he's turned the Suns into, like, a machine. They just keep – they find ways to win games, like, on the road, at home, against whoever it is. Doesn't matter. And I feel like they're well equipped to, like, sustain the blow of CP3 to hold on to that lead in the West.
Yeah. I think they can. I think, to your point, to Monty Williams, I think if he can keep this team number one, he wins coach of the year. I think, you know, he got shafted. I think he got shafted last year from Thibodeau, and Thibodeau's probably gonna get fired. I mean, let's be honest. He's probably gonna leave. But yeah, to your point, I think if they're first or even second, and, you know, because, you know, the West is that, you know, the West is just as competitive as the East is, I think he's going to win it, in my opinion. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Chris Paul can at least be 100% healthy for the playoffs, because if he's not, then the Suns window is really going to, it's going to keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, because obviously Chris Paul is getting older. He's nearing 40, not 30. So, you know, time is ticking for this Suns team. But moving to kind of maybe one of the final, the last two teams we'll kind of mention, Dom, your Clippers, you guys are 30-31 going into the second half of the season. You're in this weird situation where it's like, you want to fight for the playoffs or like a playing game, but at the same time, it's like, do you kind of just tank and just get a lottery pick? Because Paul George is probably not coming back. He might. Kawhi Leonard, the ACL tear, they're probably going to hold him out and let him sit out, most likely. Like, we'll see. But in your opinion, what do you think they should do? Do you think they should compete and get into the playoff spot and hopefully make a run, and maybe they come, both of them come back? Or do you think shut it down and just let's move ahead to next year?
I think they should definitely keep playing tough. I think you can get a good player no matter what pick. It doesn't always have to be that top one. Just play tough, have that confidence into next season. I hear there's this really good point guard named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that they should really look at, you know? They used to have him. Pain. Anyway, when it comes
to... Who'd you guys trade him? Who'd you trade for OKC?
Paul George.
Yeah, it was the whole entire three-way deal for Paul George, and that's how three-way deal. We got Kawhi because he wanted Paul George, so we traded him, got PG. When it comes down to it, just play tough. I think PG can come back. Kawhi, might as well just sit him out. Keep the chemistry going. Luke Kennard stepped up big time sometimes. Reggie Jackson as well has actually been a baller. I've been a fan of him. They need a true center. And I love Zubac, but I think he's more of that backup. He's a little – I know there's no defense in today's game, which is a shame, but he's a little bit more – of the soft kind of center that just gets the rebounds. I want someone that can kind of take over a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like he kind of gets the job done. I feel like, you know, Brandon, to your point, I think Zubac is probably more like, it's kind of like a lesser version of Robert Williams.
Yeah.
Robert Williams. I mean, yeah, I think Zubac, he could probably like serve as a scoring center, but yeah, obviously he's not like the best option to have. But I think if talking about the Clippers, I think the one thing that stands out to me is Ty Lue as a coach. Like, I feel like he's really proven that he's like a real coach in this league.
Oh, he's elite. He's elite status now.
Mm-hmm. Like, and when he was in Cleveland, I thought like, you know, I thought that was like LeBron's team. Like, he didn't do anything. But then like in last year's playoffs against like the Jazz, they forced like game seven against the Jazz. With nobody, like Paul George was out, no Kawhi, and like they fought and they won, you know, and then they made it to Western Conference Finals? No.
I think they made it to the semis.
But yeah, just like, you know, he coached that team. Like, they exposed Rudy Gobert in the playoffs, and like the team is still hovering around 500 in like the West, which is super tough. Mm-hmm. Especially when you don't have your two star players. So, yeah, I feel like he's definitely proven that he's, like, a real coach in this league. That's what I've taken from the Clippers.
Yeah, I agree. I totally forgot to mention that, you know, Ty Lue is kind of there. And the fact that he can, he can also be running for coach of the year, even though obviously the record doesn't show. But the fact that, to your point, he has shown to be an elite coach in this league kind of after the whole series last year and kind of maybe – after seeing that, it kind of gave some fans perspective. Okay, maybe he did do something in Cleveland, right? Because everyone thought he was just the puppet to LeBron. Mm-hmm. But after seeing what he did in last year, it's like, okay, maybe he wasn't, mm-hmm. you know? So there's that too. So, you know, Dom, you've got, you know, no matter what, I think next year you guys are going to be right back at the top of the West, you know, fighting for a position in the finals because, you know, you got a great coach, you got two superstars right there, and you got a good vets on your team. It's just a matter of kind of maybe filling the gaps, the little bit gaps in the offseason for your team, and then you'll just move forward. And then, you know, finally, I think we'll end with this team, the Warriors. Obviously, we mentioned it earlier in the show, Steph Curry put on a show during the All-Star break. Obviously, Klay Thompson's back. He's starting to ramp it up and get it going. We're already seeing flashes of old Clay, which is good to see. Draymond is on his way back. They're second in the West. And, you know, at one point they were the hottest team in the NBA and, you know, they kind of came back down to earth, but, you know, they're still doing what they got to do. And people are saying that, you know, it's between them, like the Nets, the Bucks, and like in the Heat. Surprisingly, we haven't talked about the Heat. They're number one in the East, and it's like no one cares about them. You know, I saw this meme where it's like everyone's talking about like the Nets, the Sixers, the Lakers. Meanwhile, the Heat are number one in the East, and Adebayo and Butler have combined missed 46 games, and it's just a meme of like all the NBA players on the plane just knocked out of sleep because nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, real quick, you know, just talk about kind of the Warriors and Heat, kind of what do you expect from those two teams? And do you think the Warriors can be number one, and can the Heat sustain this? Do you think they could claim the number one spot in the East, or do you think they're going to kind of fall in regrets? Because they do have kind of the same coach in the Clippers too, and Eric Spoelstra, who is like kind of that rub dog, kind of made a name for himself, elite coach with having LeBron previously.
Yeah, the Heat are just a really well-coached team. And, you know, like they do a really good job developing players and talent. Like Duncan Robinson, he was playing like D3 college basketball, and then they found him in Michigan, and then he's turned into a sniper in the league right now. So they do a good job developing talent, and then like just having like the system and like I don't know, just like that next man up mentality. You know, when like Butler goes down and Adebayo is out for a few weeks with an injury too. So I feel like they're well positioned to make a run for the finals again, like they did in the bubble. Show like that wasn't a fluke, you know, and like they're real. Especially with Kyle Lowry added this year too, like having like a real point guard to, you know, get things going for the offense. And he's, you know, still really annoying on defense too. He's a pest.
Yeah, he is. No, I think, I mean, look, they kind of have it, you know, I mean, look, they're just, I mean, we've kind of set it off the record. I mean, that team, they're just dogs. Like they're just like, they're like, they're the definition of like a Rough Rider team. So I think if it's any team that's kind of like that wasn't favorited coming into the season to be number one, I think it's them. Like they like they could do it. Because if they stay hot, because any one of those guys can have a night. Adebayo can go 20-20. Butler can have like 20-10 and like 8. Tyler Hero can drop 40 on you if you wanted to. And Duncan Robinson can sprinkle in a, like 20 if he needs to. So they got good pieces, and they have a coach that's been there for over a decade and knows what it takes to not only win, but win in Miami. So, you know, I think they got it going for them and their team to look out for in the playoffs once again, because they're back. And then obviously with the Warriors, I think they're going to, if they get hot, I think they're going to be back in the finals.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, they all have the championship pedigree, like Curry, Thompson, Draymond, and then Andrew Wiggins. You know, he's an all-star. He's, like, a good player now. He's not, like, number one draft pick bust like everyone thought he was in Minnesota. Like, he's turned into a really good player in Golden State. And they still have a good supporting cast like they did in, like, those prior years, too, when they won back in, like, 2015. They have a good supporting cast right now. Mm-hmm. Like, Gary Payton II, like, Jonathan Kuminga. Like, they just do a good job of, you know, giving players roles and people buy in, and then they play beautiful basketball.
I think it's all them buying in is kind of, I think, kind of the biggest thing for them. And I just wish that Wiseman would play, because like, what the hell is going on with him?
Yeah.
Do you know? Cause I don't know.
Yeah. He feel like tore his meniscus or something like last year. I don't know. He's a big guy. So I think those kinds of injuries take longer time to come back from.
Interesting. Well, hopefully he comes back, because if he comes back, that just adds more size to that team. And it's just like, they can just play a 4-1, spread the four, and just have him just stuck in the middle. So, you know, it's going to be a crazy second half of the season. A lot of storylines, a lot of buzz. It's going to be exciting, you know, that we have kind of all this going on with obviously football ending and, you know, baseball on a lockout. And we do have the NHL, which is great. But I think basketball is, you know, coming in today, which is Thursday, it's going to be a great second half, and I'm looking forward to it. And that is going to do it for this episode of the Sports Fever. Brandon, it was kind of a last minute decision. I texted you if you want to come on the show. So I thank you for coming on, joining us.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. I love you, my brother. And Dom, it's going to do it for us. You have anything you want to say before we say our goodbyes?
Please, thank you. It was good meeting you, Brandon. I was this close, everyone, didn't know, to meeting this man. Anthony's talked so well about him, and it was for your party that I couldn't go to because I was working. You guys had a lot of fun. I wanted to see Noah bowling. I wanted to see Chris really go bowling, because we know he's all talk. Sorry, buddy. But I'm glad we got to have this, boys. Really good show.
It was great. Definitely, well, hopefully the people that listen will spark some debate, spark some conversation going into this week and going to the second half of the NBA season. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. As always, we thank you for tuning in. If you want to follow us on social media, you can, the Sports _Fever, Instagram, the Sports Fever 1. And if you want to shoot us an email, you can shoot us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Be sure to tune in next week, Thursday at noon, for a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.